Are you passionate about resolving conflicts and making positive impact in the world? Then USD's Conflict Management and Resolution Master's Program may be for you. Learn to address conflicts at all levels, from personal disputes to global crises. Join the Kroc School's dedicated community fostering peace and understanding while you acquire practical skills to navigate diverse settings. Apply now and be the change you want to see in the world. Visit sandiego.edu/peace/VOSD. That's sandiego.edu/peace/VOSD.
We'll talk about some iffy technology police are using and a sheriff's deputy
who
was selling guns illegally. Do that one again?
I say keep it.
Welcome to the Voice of San Diego podcast in partnership with News Radio 600 KOGO. I am Scott Lewis, the CEO and editor-in-chief at Voice of San Diego, joined as always by managing editor Sarah Libby. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Andrew Keats is off this week. Coming up on the show today, we are gearing up for PolitiFest. It's just days away. It starts on Tuesday, so Sarah and I are going to pregame it a bit. We'll talk about some of the panels and interviews and topics we're most excited about. There are so many. It may be our most diverse, largest one ever. And we'll give you a glimpse into what's happening next week. Also, from the Jesse Beat, we have a few dispatches. That's Voice of San Diego's associate editor, Jesse Marks, who had a couple of fascinating stories this week. We will talk about some iffy technology that police are using and a sheriff's deputy who was selling guns illegally. There's more to the story than came out. We'll also unpack a settlement by the Port Authority that happened this week. But let's go first. PolitiFest, Sarah. You're doing your panel, your discussion about all the ballot measures. You and Jesse, not going to debate them. You're just going to explain them, right? The state ones.
Yeah, so I've been studying up the last few weeks, and I was surprised to learn, maybe you already know this, that there is a ballot measure that was almost quite literally sprung to life by Liam Dillon.
Oh, really? Our own alum.
Yeah.
Strong LA Times housing reporter, Liam Dillon. Yeah. He did what now?
So one of the ballot measures, I believe it's Prop 19, is kind of a redo of a measure from 2 years ago, and it would let people who are 55 and older kind of carry their property tax break with them. But this time around, there is a sweetener to bring more money, and that is what I'm calling the Liam Dillon adjustment. Which is, Liam wrote a story for the LA Times revealing that people who inherit property and inherit this property tax break but don't live in that property and instead rent it out for thousands of dollars on Airbnb, they get to take this big property tax break even though they're not living in their home, and it would cut the tax break for those people who inherit their property but don't actually live in it. So that seems like a very direct piece of impact.
Right. So this was the investigation he did that focused on actor Jeff Bridges, right? So actor Jeff Bridges had a house in Malibu that his family's owned for whatever, since like the 50s.
Right.
And so it had the property tax level based on that. But they were paying that, so they were paying that tax that was like probably
$600.
Yeah. And this is like a beachfront Malibu, beautiful place that they're renting out for, I actually pulled it up here, $15,000, $16,000 a month. And so they had this like really protected tax rate. And so what you're saying is that the new initiative allows people to carry their low tax rates so they can move out of their home and get another home so they don't feel trapped in a big old nice home or whatever.
Yes, it's specifically to encourage downsizing.
Right. So the realtors love it because it would turn over more homes.
They truly love it.
But then what you're saying They really love it. But then what you're saying is they've added this thing that says, but for people who do this, they're not going to allow that anymore. Jeff Bridges, the Liam Dillon amendment then.
Yes, because the first part would cost money in terms of we're not getting that added property tax. And so they've added the Liam Dillon adjustment to give right. the state back some money that, you know, to make up for the first part of it.
I'm not going to flag that we talked about him this way. I'm not going to hint to him or text him or anything. Let's just see if he discovers it himself, because he will love it. And I don't want to give him that. He has to earn it.
No, I have a prediction, and it is 100% a certainty. What's going to happen is I'm going to get a Twitter direct message, and it's going to say, hey, love the shout out. Thank you so much. And then it's going to flag a very weird technicality that I have gotten wrong.
That's exactly
so
right.
So I look forward to sharing with you all next week what the weird technicality that I explained wrong was.
Right. Well, that discussion will happen. The propositions for California, if you're going to look at your ballot, you're wondering how you're going to vote, you're going to want to pay attention to this. That's one of our first events, sessions that occurs September 29th. That's Tuesday, 5 p.m. We're going to open the show and begin with that discussion. So I'm looking forward to that. I moderated a school board debate last night, and there were two school board candidates who opposed Proposition 15. That's the one that would allow commercial properties to be assessed at their market value for the purpose of charging them property taxes, except for residential buildings, so any apartment buildings, stuff like that. I was clarified very clearly on that point when I moderated a different discussion. All right, well, good. That's a good one. I'm looking forward to that. We have several debates going forward. Do you have a debate you're looking forward to?
Let's see. Is there a City Council District 3 debate?
Yes, there is. In fact, the only city council debate that we don't have for the city of San Diego is District 9. Kelvin Barrios did not want to participate. So, yes, we have District 3. That's Tony Duran versus Stephen Whitburn. That's your district,
that's
so you want to know
district.
Who to do.
Yeah, I'm in. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so that's the district, of course. Downtown, North Park, South Park, Uptown, I guess it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's a tough one. Whitburn ran against Todd Gloria 2008, lost. Seems like he's got an upper hand as far as like some money and endorsements, but we'll see what happens. Huh?
Yeah.
This is going to sound maybe funny, but you know what the debate I'm looking forward to the most?
Uh-oh.
Encinitas mayor's race.
Oh, okay. No, that is going to be spicy. First of all, one of the candidates is named Thunder, so that's...
Julie Thunder.
You know it's going to bring the thunder.
Yes, and against Catherine Blakespear, she's a former PolitiFest guest. Last year, she came on to talk about housing with Liam Dillon and the housing bros.
There you go.
And, she's kind of more pro-housing than maybe is comfortable for some of her neighbors in Encinitas. But Julie Thunder,
but she's not so pro-housing that she still gets uncomfortable when you call her pro-housing.
Right. She doesn't want you to do that. So that debate's going to be fascinating. Julie Thunder's coming fierce. I'm really excited about that. The other one I'm really looking forward to, well, there's a bunch. There's going to be all the city council races we discussed, the mayor's race, of course. I'll be moderating that one. Amar Campanajar versus Daryl Issa for the congressional race. It's a good one.
Man,
Kogo is going to broadcast our own Kogo. You're hearing this on Kogo, maybe. They're broadcasting that one live.
I'm like proactively uncomfortable by how intense these races that you just mentioned might be.
Yes, it's going to be. It is going to be hot. Then there's the Sarah Jacobs versus Georgette Gomez congressional race. We'll have that too. That's going to get spicy. Yes. And then there's a few initiatives. We'll have a debate about the Midway update where they want to raise the height limit for the entire Midway district. John McNabb, a longtime Point Loma activist, will spar against DK from the Chamber of Commerce. That's going to be fascinating. DK's been helping lead that community planning group for a long time, which paved the way for this whole effort for a while. So that's going to be a really good debate. There's going to be a debate about all the school board races. Then just a plethora of community conversations. So we have Cal Matters is going to come in and host a discussion. You were pointing at that one as a potential interesting one.
Yeah, so they're talking about Prop 22, which is obviously the Uber and app-based drivers measure to exempt them from AB5. And I went over some ballot measures with a group that invited me yesterday, and they wanted to talk about all the different building measures. And then they were like, also, please talk about Prop 22, because everybody cares about that regardless of whether it's related to what they do. And there's just bajillions of dollars being thrown around in that race. That's
so
a technical amount of money. So it's nuts. It's going to be crazy.
The mailers have not started coming yet. They usually come out when ballots come, except in this Proposition 22 race, which is already, there's, like you said, bajillions of dollars in it. And Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, they're all putting so much money in, and mailers have started to come. I've seen tons of ads on social media and other places, watching the Padres games, people, don't take my right to drive and such. So Lorena Gonzalez, who led the effort to sort of codify into law the Dynamex decision that led to AB5, that they're trying to, I guess, not repeal this. This just replaces part of it and says there's a third category, or does it fully repeal it?
It doesn't repeal. It exempts the drivers from it. So, you know, plenty of people are already exempted from the requirements within AB5. And so this would just cut them right out of it.
Well, pay attention for that Tuesday discussion, 5 p.m. So, look, a lot of great discussions, a lot of great things to talk about. I want to highlight just one last thing that's going to be great. There's going to be dozens more sessions. You got to check it out, politifest.org. But one of them, we might be considered maybe the keynote of this week. Javier Becerra, the Attorney General, is going to sit and answer questions and have a conversation about policing in California with Alon Stevens. Yep. Alon Stevens does criminal justice reporting and reporting about firearms for The Trace, it's national news source about guns and tracking guns and just gun violence and weapons of all kinds. Fascinating. That should be hot. You came up with that one, right?
Yeah. When we started brainstorming what we wanted to do to explore police reform, we had kind of like a plan A and then a plan B, C, D, and E, because we thought, you know, getting Javier Becerra or somebody big like that to discuss it was probably out of our league. But plan A is happening. It's going.
That's great. And then there's going to be other discussions about criminal justice. We have the ACLU, which joined with San Diegans for Justice for its own conversation. There's a whole plethora of community conversations about various issues, about Prop 15. We have the assessor's office that joined with Alliance San Diego to put together a Prop 15 discussion about property taxes. There's we got another discussion. This one we organized about redistricting. Look, you're going to want to go to this. If you like this show, you're going to like PolitiFest. PolitiFest.org, PolitiFest.org. You can also go to Voice San Diego. There's tons of ads up there. You're going to want to sign up. We have already hundreds of people signed up. It's going to be our biggest, best ever. And we don't even have to go anywhere. Like, we can just go to our own bathroom if we have to. Yeah. All right. It's going to be all next week, starting at Tuesday at 5 p.m. We hope to see you and hear from you. Check it out, politifest.org. So the Jesse beat. So a couple of people were wondering why we were bagging on Jesse a few weeks ago on the podcast. And I think it's just because we love him, right?
It's because we love him so deeply that there's not really an appropriate way to, like, express
it. so we should hurt him, basically.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he's part of the reason we love him is he finds some crazy things out. Let's start with this arms dealing deputy. Now, a lot of us have heard about the story of a sheriff's deputy, a captain who pleaded guilty to dealing firearms without a license. But what did Jesse find in addition to what we all knew about?
Yeah, so the arrest and the guilty plea were kind of, you know, big deals. Lots of news coverage about it. The U.S. Attorney's Office sent out press releases about it. Jesse got a hold of an internal investigation from within the sheriff's department that kind of peeled back the curtain on how it was handled internally, which is to say it wasn't really. So the state had flagged a lot of these transactions. I think you have a limit of like 5 guns that you can sell or transfer to other people, and he had like over 100, so seems bad.
He was an arms dealer.
Yeah, he was literally an arms dealer. So the state flagged this and said he should be prosecuted. He's violating the law. And the sheriff's department decided to handle it internally. And just kind of the logic that they laid out is really baffling. They're saying, you know, well, he didn't know that this was a law. And so how can you fault him for breaking it? Which I have not really seen that grace applied to other criminal suspects.
It's not usually what goes over well when you're being interrogated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they noted, you know, like other than the massive arms dealing, he doesn't have other, you know, crimes on his record. So that's a plus. And, you know, it was really swept under the rug and minimized, and a lot of excuses were given for him. And then if you contrast that with the case made out by federal prosecutors, you know, he's a law enforcement agent. You can't be dealing arms, maybe?
Yeah. And there's more. The case says that this guy lied to authorities and then tipped off his cousin about his raid. It was about to happen at an illegal pot shop. Like, this was a guy doing some things.
Yeah.
Well, check that out. Voiceofsandiego.org. Jesse Marks, you know, gets his hands on some cool stuff. We love Jesse Marks. And also from the Jesse Beat this week, he and intern Cara Grant looked into some more technology that San Diego police are using. It may not be going so well. Sarah, explain ShotSpotter to me as though I'm 5.
Done. So ShotSpotter is another one of these controversial technologies. And a few years ago, SDPD decided they were going to start using it in San Diego. And it was pretty controversial at the time because, one, they decided to only use it throughout southeastern San Diego. So that community, which is already really heavily policed, said, once again, you're just surveilling us, you're cracking down on us, and, you know, they believe discriminating against us. And there has also for years been questions about the effectiveness of this technology. So basically, it is a listening device and it listens for what it believes are gunshots. And so the case for it is that, you know, gunshots happen and people don't always call those crimes into police, or maybe they don't call them in right away. And perhaps somebody has a gun injury and needs police and police don't know about it. So the thinking is that this just automatically sends a notice to police and police can respond to the scene whether somebody calls them right away or not. And, you know, in selling this technology to the city, they marketed, of course, its effectiveness and said, it detects gunshots with wonderful, perfect accuracy. And so what Cara and Jesse determined from the police records is that's not exactly true. And I think in about 12 or 13% of cases, police were called to, you know, essentially a false alarm. There was maybe construction happening and that was the result of the noise, or there were just no shell casings or any evidence at all. That a gun had been fired. And so, you know, the whole reasoning for employing this technology is it saves resources and it can save lives. But if they're being called out to a lot of false calls when they could perhaps be doing other things with their time, it kind of flips the argument for it on its head.
Yeah. So this was $1 million a year or just $1 million flat?
I think for a 3-year contract, it was $1 million.
Right.
And it's coming and so due again this year.
And what do we think? Is it going to be re-upped?
So at least one person within the department was questioning its effectiveness and kind of saying, I don't really think this is worth it. And we talked to him and he said, my opinion has not changed since I sent off some emails saying that. So it's not very clear, but at least some people are questioning it at this point.
Well, another great dispatch from the Jesse Marks beat. Obviously, this one with an assist from intern Cara Grant. Great work from both of them. You can check that out at voiceofsandiego.org. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Join culture creator Ramel Wallace, museum CEO Micah Parzon, philanthropist Erwin Jacobs, and urban agriculturist Diane Moss on Season 2 of Stop and Talk, a podcast about the future of the San Diego region. How can we create a vibrant region that celebrates our cultural richness and economic strength? Find out and hear other San Diego experts on Stop and Talk. Discover seasons 1 and 2 now at stopandtalkpodcast.com. That's stopandtalkpodcast.com. Are you passionate about resolving conflicts and making positive impact in the world? Then USD's Conflict Management and Resolution Master's program may be for you. Learn to address conflicts at all levels, from personal disputes to global crises. Join the Kroc School's dedicated community fostering peace and understanding while you acquire practical skills to navigate diverse settings. Apply now and be the change you want to see in the world. Visit sandiego.edu/peace/VOSD. That's sandiego.edu/peace/VOSD.
All right, Ashley McGlone had an update to a story we filed a few years ago that I think is really interesting. So beginning in May 2018, the Port of San Diego required rental car companies to start collecting a $3.50 fee from customers. They wanted to raise $40 million, and the money would be used to pay back loans that were taken out to build a 1,600-space parking garage, or were going to be taken out to build a parking garage in Chula Vista. That parking garage was key to the Chula Vista Bayfront Convention Center, the hotel, the retail and park complex they've been trying to build in South Bay for decades. They've been trying to redevelop the Bayfront in South Bay. So the rental car companies are tenants of the Port of San Diego, so this was a fee charged to them. Now, a lot of people started bringing up pretty soon after the fee was implemented that that was actually a tax and it was illegal. It should be voted on. So let me just break down that really quickly. In this state, you can pass, if you're a government, a fee on people without a vote of the people, as long as the money for it is used for their benefit. So for example, you could pass a fee to use a shower at a beach. And as long as the fee was used to maintain the shower, then it's a fee they could charge, right? There's not that I know exists, but basically that's the concept, right? And so, but if you charge a fee, let's say a fee to use the shower at the beach, but they use the money for like parks in El Cajon, or you know, they go far away with the money, then that is considered a tax, that they've taxed you. They're not charging you a fee to help you do whatever you've decided to do that incurred the fee, but they've charged you a tax, and taxes in the state of California need to go to a vote of the people. And if they're for a special use, they need to be approved by 2/3 of the voters. So a few people sued. What I looks like happens is some attorneys saw this as an illegal fee because their argument was that this fee was charged to rental car companies next to the airport, but was being used for something far away from the airport that only a very tiny number of people at the airport would use.
Right. It's in Chula Vista.
And because it's farther away. Yeah. And thus, it should have been voted on by the people. And so they sued. And one thing that was interesting about this, when it came up, the airport authority, which has a relationship with these rental car companies, wanted to get involved because they were worried that this was going to be illegal. And their initial efforts to be involved in reversing this were met with intense backlash, led by Assemblywoman Lorena Gonzalez, who again threatened, after she had before, to dissolve the entire airport authority itself because of how angry she was that they would take this step to question this fee. It was a big deal. Remember that? Remember that the airport was under siege, like they were going to get dissolved for a couple years there.
Yeah, she had this kind of pattern of addressing local agencies and making big changes to them at the state level. You know, she tried to do it with Civic San Diego, and she successfully did it with SANDAG, and like this was next on the hit list.
Yeah, it looked like that, or like the Water Authority or something. So yes, so the Airport Authority goes through this. Well, now, just this week, the port has settled that lawsuit, will be giving as much as $6.6 million in refunds to a bunch of people. So basically, a bunch of people, if they want it, can get $3.50.
Congratulations!
Back. Yes, rolling! This is one of those classic, like, the lawyers are the ones stoked about this,
yeah,
right?
Because sure.
They get, what, 10% of the $6.6 million or whatever. That's a big deal. But, you know, basically, what it really does is it stops the development of this parking garage because that was the only way they thought to do it. And now they're basically saying, well, we'll just get by with just flat land.
Yeah, I think they have no other ideas at this point.
So that's a little slice of how things work and how they can go awry with tax law.
How many times has this, like, you can't just start charging people, tripped up local politicians? Like, it seems, yes, it's wonky, but it seems like pretty easy to get if you're a politician.
All the time.
Why does and this keep happening?
Because I'll tell you why.
Tell me.
It's two-thirds. Because to raise taxes, you need two-thirds of the vote. And so they're always trying to raise taxes and get around it in this, like, clever way. So the most prominent one you're probably thinking of is that convention center one.
Right.
Remember, they tried to raise hotel taxes without a vote of the people. And then they had to spend another 5-10 years trying to figure out how to expand the convention center because it was deemed illegal.
Yeah, I mean, if it doesn't work and it's illegal, then it's not really that clever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so exactly. They're trying. They're failing at clever,
exactly,
creative ways around this restriction. So,
but it's like a clever new way to fail.
It is. That's true. I didn't predict this one. Yes, they basically, a lot of people want the government to build big things like stadiums and convention centers and parking garages, but they don't want to ask people to vote on it because they know that people don't want that and won't vote two-thirds to do it, and so they're always tying themselves in knots. But here's another knot. It's going to cost them a lot, and a bunch of people are going to get $3.50. I love these people they find, too. Like, I can't believe I was charged this fee.
Ashley talked to somebody, like, from Germany. That conversation? Like, I'd like to talk to you about your trip to San Diego in which you paid $3 at the rental car center.
Yeah. Here was her quote. This was Sarah Perala from Cologne, Germany. She says, "As a foreigner, I was not aware of the fee at all. To be honest, all kinds of fees are miraculously added each time one hires a car in the USA." That's good stuff.
So good.
But I'm glad someone took the time to look into this. Yes, and they probably called you and asked if you'd sign this. And here's your $3 back. Sorry for your trouble. No, great stuff. Ashley McGlone following up. That's a classic Voice of San Diego follow-up. Thanks for listening to the Voice of San Diego podcast, the most popular public affairs podcast recorded in my garage and Sarah's. Is that your bedroom, Sarah? Get your tickets to our annual conference, PolitiFest. Again, starts Tuesday at politifest.org. All the details are there. Again, you can register at politifest.org. Just go to voicesandiego.org. You'll see our ads there. I'm Scott Lewis, the CEO and editor-in-chief. Sarah Libby's managing editor. This show is produced by Nate John. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.